During the U.S. Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln met with a few ministers for a prayer breakfast. And at one point, one of the ministers said, "President, let us pray that God is on our side." But Abraham Lincoln replied, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." What a great reply, right? Both options include God, but only the second one truly shows our willingness to obey God. And tonight, I want to talk with God's grace about obedience. And the title is going to be True Obedience. Obedience was exercised from the beginning of times. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So we see a God who's the creator, and we see the universe, which obeyed God's commands. Then we have this topic about obedience explained to us through the whole scripture. And then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, we read, "Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life." Blessed are those who wash their robes. That sentence is an act of obedience. There are three reasons why I chose to talk about this topic tonight. And first of all, it's because I consider obedience a characteristic which is of tremendous importance for me, first of all, and for any Christian. Second of all, because it's a topic which basically has no limits. There is no point in your life when you can say, "You know, now I know everything about obedience. There is nothing new I can learn about obedience." There is always something new you can learn about obedience. And then thirdly, it's because it's something very practical. You encounter it every day of your life. Every day you wake up, you have to take a decision. You might do it consciously or unconsciously, but you're going to take a decision through the way you act, through the way you speak. Do I want to obey God today, or do I want to obey somebody else? So for those reasons, let us look at two questions tonight. First one, whom can we, should we obey? And then the second one, why should we obey? So whom and why? So let's start off with the first one. Whom can we / should we obey? Mr. Bansky wrote in one of his books called Wall and Peace, "The greatest crimes in the world are not committed by people breaking the rules, but by people following the rules. It's people who follow orders who drop bombs and massacre villages." I mean, it depends from which angle you're viewing it, but there is some truth in that quote. What we want to take out of it is basically the fact that when you're not obeying God, you're obeying somebody else. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says, "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." There are only two options presented here. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus Christ talks about two masters, not about five, not about 10, not about 20, just about two. And he says, or you hate one and love the other, or you're devoted to one and despise the other. So if you look at this whole structure of whom we can obey, we are left out at the end with two possibilities. But for now, let's take a closer look at this structure, at these possibilities we have. And first of all, there is somebody who tries with all his resources, with all his power, to get our attention. He does it every day, even nights when you sleep. And that's the devil. He wants you to obey him. He wants that because He always, and he still always wanted to be like God. And he still wants to be like God. And there are at least three ways he tries to get our attention. He tries to bother us. So first of all, he tries it directly. And William Shakespeare said, the devil can cite scripture for his purpose. And that's exactly what happens in Matthew chapter 4 when he tempts Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. If he had courage to go to tempt Jesus Christ, he's going to have enough courage to come and tempt you as well. He's able to talk through animals. We see that in Genesis chapter 3. Maybe not a very common way. He's able to talk through people. And let me tell you something. You do not need to be possessed by an evil spirit so that the devil talks through you. Might sound a little weird at the beginning, but if you look in Matthew chapter 16, we see that Jesus Christ asked his disciples a question. And he said, who do you think I am? And Peter answered in such a great way, you are the Son of the living God. A few moments later, Jesus Christ talked about his death and resurrection. And now, Peter said, God forbid, Lord, that must not happen to you. And then Jesus Christ turned to Peter and he said, behind me, who, Peter? No, behind me, Satan. So you need to be very vigilant. You need to be very careful. You need to be very cautious that you always have a connection to God, especially when you give advice to people. The second possibility what we have is we could obey our sinful nature. Well, I'm pretty sure you heard this term a lot, sinful nature, sinful nature. But maybe you're asking yourself tonight, what is sinful nature? It's basically the aspect in man which makes him rebellious against God. In other words, if you would need to choose between obeying God or doing God's will and doing your own thing, naturally, you would be inclined to do your own thing. So if you choose to obey sinful nature, the results are devastating. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, we read that the results are as follows. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust for pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So Paul could keep going, but he just stopped there because at this point we should get the point. And he wraps it up in such a great way in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, where he says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. Amen. The third possibility we have is we could obey one another. This can be good and it can be bad as well. So let's start with the good part. Children must obey their best friends, right? Their parents. Ephesians chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 1. Then in Ephesians 6:5, we read that employees must obey their employers. So the employers are very happy right now. The employees maybe not that much. In Titus 3:1, we read that we all must obey our government. Something very important, especially in March and April when we're filling our taxes, right? Actually all the time. We all must obey our spiritual leaders, it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. And let me read that one for you. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. So now, there is a condition in which case we do not need to comply to any of those teachings or rules, or if you're talking about government, about those laws. And that is, in case those teaching, rules, or laws are against God's word. If they interfere with God's word, we do not need to obey. We do not need to comply. Okay, and in the book of Daniel, we have three young men. And King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon built that idol. And he said, the whole nation needs to bow down before that idol. But three men, they were different. They knew the consequence. They knew that they would be thrown into the furnace. But they decided to not bow down. Why? Because they had principles. Because they knew that God is above what the king says. Even if it's Nebuchadnezzar. Even if it's the one who already conquered basically the whole Middle East. Doesn't matter. God is greater. We are obeying God. And that basically leads us to our fourth possibility. The fourth one we could obey, and in this case we should obey, is God. In Matthew chapter 17, we have Jesus Christ taking three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he's going up on a mountain. And they have a great fellowship up there. Moses shows up. Elijah shows up. Peter already starts, you know, thinking how he can extend this whole thing. And he starts thinking about building tabernacles. But there is no big attention given to Peter at that point. Because suddenly just God talked from a cloud. And he said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. Or we could say, obey him. So the scripture tells us very clearly that we need to obey Jesus Christ. We need to obey God. So now, let's look at the second question. Why do we need to obey God? From this point on, I don't really want to explain and really care about why we should obey our employers or even our parents and so on. We want to focus now on why we should obey God. Because that's the really important thing. That's why we are here tonight, right? So, why do we need to obey God? Why is it important to obey God? First of all, because the whole universe obeys God. In Mark chapter 4, we see that Jesus Christ decides to cross the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. So, as they keep going, suddenly a fierce storm comes up. And the boat starts to fill with water. You know, they had high waves. They had a lot of wind. A big storm. And the boat starts to fill with water. So the disciples, they start getting desperate. As I think we would get as desperate as well. And Jesus Christ, and that's pretty interesting, he was sleeping in the back of the boat. It's kind of interesting that God is sleeping in the back of the boat. And so the disciples in their desperation, they just start shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly there was a great calm. And suddenly there was a great calm. So now, the disciples are looking at one another and they're saying, who is this man? Who is this man? That even the waves and the wind obey him. In fact, the whole universe obeys God. Because he's the creator of the universe. So shouldn't we, the crown of his creation, obey God as well? The second reason why we should obey God is because God promised blessing for those who obey him. In Deuteronomy 11:27, it says, you will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, says Moses to the Israelites. Well, I think every single person, you don't need to be a Christian to love this word, blessing. Everybody likes blessings, right? But I think God really tries to teach me personally something lately. And I want to share that with you. I think I think he really wants to teach us something in regards to blessing and blessings. I think we shouldn't see blessings as like a cul-de-sac where our house is in the corner somewhere, and then the wave of blessing comes from God, and there is no other way to go, and then it hits our house, and then it starts building up and piling up in our garden until we have a big tower of blessings. And then when we have this big tower of blessings, we go to our friends and we tell them, "Hey man, listen, I'm so extremely blessed. I don't know if there could be a way how I could make you comprehend all those blessings I received from God. If there would be any way how I can make you understand how extremely blessed I am. I mean, I don't want to really compare myself to you, but I think I'm way more blessed than you. If there would be only a way how I could share my blessings with you." You know, if you look at the story of Abraham, we realize that it's not just a story about God blessing a man, but it's a story about God blessing the whole nations through a man. It's a story about God making Abraham understand that he needs to be a blessing for those around him, that he needs to share his blessings. Neil Maxwell said, "We should certainly count our blessings, but we should also make our blessings count." I know we have a lot of electricians here and maybe a few electromechanical engineers. So I want to ask you a simple question. If you want to build an electrical flow, what kind of material would you use if you wanted to succeed? Most probably you're going to use copper, right? Because copper, and Andre looks at me and he's, "Yes, that's what I would use." Because copper is just a very good conductor, right? You would for sure not use an insulator like wood, glass, rubber, or plastic. If you're working for NASA and you're building satellites, most probably you're gonna use silver. Because silver is the best conductor. And I like the reason. I like the reason why it's the best conductor. You know why? Because the electrons are able to move freer than in any other element. The electrons are able to move freer than in any other element. And you know what I realized? Those people who know how to share their blessings are freer in their spirit than those who don't let anything through, like the wall of China. Those people who know how to share their blessings are freer in their spirit. But let me ask you a question tonight. If we are smart enough to use conductors, why should God use insulators? If we are smart enough to use conductors, why should God use insulators? And one more thing in regards to blessings. A lot of times when we hear blessings and share your blessing, we get stuck on material blessings. And that's pretty sad because, you know, there are so many things, so many ways how God blesses His people. There are emotional blessings, physical blessings, spiritual blessings, and eternal blessings, and maybe many other blessings. So when you hear share your blessing, there is so much more you can do. You can share your love. You can share your passion. You can share your joy. You can share your time. You can even share physical blessings through the donation of blood. You can share spiritual blessings. You can share the joy you receive from Jesus Christ. You can share through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can share through so many things God gives to you, through God's grace, through God's word. Don't get stuck thinking the only thing you can share is like $10 to a poor guy next at the street. It's very often those other things what God cares so much about. The third reason why we should obey God and why it's so important to obey God is because it's of high value to God. It's of high value to God. People in general find such a great pleasure in ranking things. I think almost every single one of us went at least one time in their life on Google and wrote the top 10. The top 10 cities what you can visit, the top 10 restaurants, the top 10 cars, the top 10 eyeliners maybe, if you're a girl, the top 10 NFL players, the top 10 soccer teams. If you're more spiritual, the top 10 Bible verses, the top 10 preachers, the top 10 ways to encourage a friend in need, the top 10. You know, even when we talk about ministries, I wouldn't necessarily say there is a top 10 list, but there are definitely priorities. There are definitely things what you can do for God which are more important than others. If we look in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read that God sent Samuel to tell Saul to destroy the Amalekites because of what they did to Israel when they came out of Egypt. So now Saul needs to go to bring judgment over Amalek. And God said, you need to destroy everything. But for Saul, it seems like destroy was kind of a fancy word. He kind of had another idea in mind when he heard destroy. So he didn't destroy everything. He destroyed just, and we read that in verse 9, what was worthless and of poor quality. So now God gets angry and he sends Samuel to Saul. And then Samuel gets to Saul and they start having a conversation. And basically Samuel is telling Saul, what's going on with you? Why didn't you obey God? And then Saul starts coming up with excuses. And he's like, I wanted to bring all those as sacrifices to God. And what does Samuel say after that? What a great idea, Saul. Man, I never thought about that. What a great idea. Look at all those sheep. Of course, why should you just kill them? Let's bring them as sacrifices to God. That would be so pleasing to him. Is that what Samuel says? No. You all know the scripture very well. In verse 22, Samuel says the following. What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In Luke chapter 10, Martha just wants Jesus Christ to feel comfortable in her home. And she's working and working and working and preparing. And she just wants everything to be perfect. And then she sees her sister Maria just sitting there, you know. And the ladies might understand me here very well. When you know you have a lot of things to do, and then you see somebody who can help you, and she's just sitting there. She's just sitting there and not doing anything. And you don't know how to get done with everything you need to do. You get angry, right? And she was so angry that at a certain point she just went to Jesus and she's like, Lord, say something to her, in other words. But Jesus lets Martha understand that obedience is worth more than sacrifice. Obedience is worth more than sacrifice. Asa in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and 1 Chronicles chapter 13. He wants to do something special. He wants to do something great. He wants to protect the Ark of the Covenant, the holiest thing in Israel. But he was never called to do that. And God's judgment comes because obedience is worth more than sacrifice. Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's children, sons, in Leviticus chapter 10. They want to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. Their own innovation. But God never asked for such a sacrifice, for such a fire. And judgment comes again, because obedience is worth more than sacrifice. You might want to worship the Lord. You might want to come and do great things. And maybe God says, stop right now. Stop here. Right now I want you to go to your brother and sister and ask for forgiveness. Because obedience is worth more than sacrifice. You might want to change the world. You might want to do so many things for God. And God might say, no. At this point, I want you to take care of your family. I want you to take care of your children. Because obedience is worth more than sacrifice. And I want to conclude saying the following. The fourth reason why we should obey God. The fourth reason why we should obey God. It's because of a matter of life and death. Your eternal life depends on it. And of course, the one who basically points that out in such a great way in Scripture is no other than John, the apostle of Jesus Christ. It's always those people who are so close to God, who are so close to Jesus, who have this deep understanding. And every time he talks about obedience, he talks in such a great way, in such an important way. And I'm just going to mention one tonight, and it's in John chapter 5, verse 24. And he cites the words of Jesus Christ, and he says, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Who's speaking here? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is saying, I tell you the truth. Can Jesus Christ lie? No, he can't. But he's saying, I tell you the truth. So clearly, he wants to emphasize something, right? Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Edwin Lewis Cole said, obedience is an act of faith. Disobedience is the result of unbelief. Obedience and faith, they work so close together. And I want to read these words and these words of Jesus Christ again. And it says, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. I don't know when the day came in your life when you decided to obey God. Maybe it's a long time ago. Maybe you never did it. But I want to tell you something very important tonight. One point in your life, you need to make that decision to give your life completely to Jesus Christ and to obey Him from the bottom of your heart, because your eternal life depends on it. There is no eternal life without true obedience to God. Those who wash their robes, those will be with God in heaven. Those who truly obey God, those who follow God from the bottom of their heart. So I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite you to stand right now. And if you're thinking, I don't know what's going on in my life right now. I don't know what's happening in my life. But I truly realize that I'm not obeying God anymore. I'm just doing my own thing. I just want to add more things to this life, to this earthly life, which is going to vanish, which is going to disappear. Maybe you came to this point today. Maybe you came to this point tonight when you want to say, I want to dedicate my life to God again. I want to have a revival in my life, a true revival. I want to obey God. I want to follow Him from the bottom of my heart. If that day is tonight, then I want to invite you to come in front and we want to pray together. We want to pray together if you want to dedicate your life to God. Hallelujah.